Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Here on ESPN 1000. You can watch us on Twitch today and every day. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You can listen on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, or of course the ESPN Chicago app. We're here till 11 o'clock today, getting you set for Championship Sunday. Don't forget to Black and Abdallah with a special Wanna Bet. Black and Abdallah today coming your way at 1:30. They will do a little bit of a pregame of Niners and Eagles, and then, of course, they will be on during the game, breaking it down as it happens, getting you set for some live betting, what they're interested in as it unfolds, and then they will be on with a pregame show leading up to Chiefs and Bengals as well. Again, Black and Abdallah, Wanna Bet, presented by FanDuel today at 1:30, so make sure you're here for that as well. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Barstool Chief, as we talk football. And I was talking earlier, we were both talking about how this is a great Sunday for the NFL. I love this day. It is my favorite NFL Sunday of the year because there's so much at stake. And it is real football. It feels more natural than the Super Bowl, which has so much surrounding it that it kind of, even though it's real football, the Super Bowl, of course, don't get me wrong, it feels a little bit less like a normal football game, where these two games always, to me, feel like a more normal NFL Sunday.
There's also that extra bye week, so you lose a little like fan momentum where you're waiting that extra week to have the Super Bowl. So I think there's something to that too, where you just get in playoff mode and NFL mode, and it's every Sunday, and then you have a break, and it almost feels like the Super Bowl is like a separate heightened event that's almost separate from whatever just happened the last 4 months.
No, there's no doubt about it. And then, of course, you know, for most people, everything surrounding the Super Bowl, whether it's a party, most people are going out somewhere to watch or consume the Super Bowl. Maybe they're hosting the party, but for the most part, it is a social gathering, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can't even if you wanted to, unless you're going to be a hermit and stay at home, it's really hard to consume the Super Bowl the way you would your other football action, right? Like, especially if you're somebody who really gets into the game and you're not just a casual observer who's hanging out for the halftime show, right? Like, you can't watch the Super Bowl the same way you can the conference championship games today.
This is one of those things that as I've gotten older, I have avoided. You have to be careful with who you watch the Super Bowl with. You have to be on the same page. Like, if you're doing it with, you know, wives and girlfriends, like, that's fun and great, but I like it to have like a core group of guys, or even I'll do it alone, but usually like 3-4 guys. And we all kind of have to be gamblers, and you all have to kind of know what that means. And you're chasing different things, and you're not jinxing people. And you have to do things kind of the right, like you have to have your crew doing it the right way. Otherwise, it's just not the experience that you're going to want.
Whereas today, for the most part, you know, maybe some people are having the usual Sunday crew over to watch the game, and it's not as big, or it's not as big of festivities. But my question to you, Rye, is the NFL, which I love it, but is it in any way interesting to you, the idea of splitting up the conference championship games and making them either a Saturday-Sunday affair or Sunday-Monday night affair?
I hate change. Mm-hmm. I love this
Sunday.
We all
do.
This is my number one Sunday. It's above Easter. It's the greatest Sunday there is. And I want those games. I want my, like, your iPhone thing where it counts your steps. I want it to be under 100. I want to, like, back and forth to the kitchen, to the bathroom, and that's about it. I'm on the couch with the dog. When I leave here, I'm going to go make my award-winning chili. Shout out Joe Flam. He gave my chili an award one time.
Nice.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, like, just kind of graze on that chili all day over 7-8 hours that these games are going on, and that's all I want. So splitting them up, that just is untenable. Like, I don't want to hear that.
And I think we all are reluctant. Nobody likes change. We like what we like. And keep it the same. But there has been conversation. It's been floated about the idea of the NFL breaking it up to maybe maximize their television dollars, right? And I was just thinking about the idea. Would it be better to do it on it? I think I would prefer, personally, if they did end up breaking it up, I would prefer a Saturday-Sunday combo as opposed to the Sunday-Monday. Now, I think the NFL would probably lean towards Sunday-Monday because you've got the natural Monday night game. But,
well, and more people are just home. I think you lose some audience naturally. Just like, I'm going to go out to dinner.
That hasn't deterred the college football from playing their college football playoff games, the semifinals, on a Saturday night.
On New Year's Eve. Which I actually love because I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy. So it's like, I got something to do. I got something to do, which is watch football.
It's it's definitely amateur hour when it comes to the going out days is New Year's Eve. And I think once you get a little more seasoned, a few more years under your belt, most people come to that conclusion pretty regularly. It's not an opinion that is not held by many.
I want to sit there, watch football, and be in a bad mood. That's what I want to do on New Year's. Like, another year's gone by. I'm a little bit older. I'm still losing bets. And these games are blowouts. So I just want to sit there, watch football, be in a bad mood. That's my New Year's Eve plans.
Jake Cantu, you're a little younger than us. You're maybe not so hardened in your ways. What if I gave you the idea of, and sorry for your Cowboys, my man. Tough loss.
It's right. I've digested it a lot more now.
Diehard Cowboys fan, okay. Jake Cantu, producing the show today. You're not as old as Barstool Chief and me, Jeff Meller, here on ESPN 1000. You're not as old as us. In any way appealing to you if you break up Conference Championship Sunday and go like a Sunday Monday?
You know what? Like, for me, I really don't care because I'm just still going to consume it no matter what day it is.
Sure.
Right?
We're football fans, yeah.
At the end of the day, especially me, where like I'm going to make time, whatever my schedule is, to sit down and watch whatever day that may be. So it doesn't matter. What they're going to do is what they're going to do. Obviously, like, I'm in favor, like with Barstool Chief, to just keep it on the same day because I don't want change. But if they did it, I'm still going to adjust to it, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, listen, I'm not saying I would protest and boycott and be like, oh, that's it. I'm only watching the NFC Championship game this year. Of course, we're consumers of the NFL product. That is a juggernaut, and it's undeniable. They know what they have in their product. It is the only, like, you look at it, like, year after year, it's like 42 of the top 50, television programs in America. They are... unbelievably, they're the machine that cannot be stopped.
Yep.
So, yes, we're definitely going to watch it if that's something they're truly interested in doing.
Did you like the wild card game on Monday? Because I didn't even really...
Super wild card.
Yeah. I didn't even really like that. I like having just back-to-back-to-back-to-back, three in a row, give it to me all day long. Yeah,
interesting. So, I'm trying to think, like, once they expanded to that seventh seed in both conferences... and just, relegated the bye to only the one seed. Now we've got six games on wild card weekend. The question is, and speaking of change, that's the change I did not like. I don't like the seventh seed.
I did like that one.
You did? Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Give me more football.
give me more
playoff games.
I'll tell you this. Yeah. Initially, I was reluctant to it, but once it came about, I did like having the two extra games on super wild card weekend, as they like to call it. But I don't know if I would have, if you move that to Saturday and you start Saturday earlier, you do a noon kickoff on Saturday, right? And just roll it straight in. I do like having that super wild card game on Monday night.
Okay.
I like the three, spanning it out over 3 days. And as the father of twins who are 12 years old, they do have activities that occasionally get into the way. So I can kind of adjust my schedule.
Drive yourself to practice.
Well, they're not there yet, but I can figure out like ways where I can manipulate it, have some help, carpool it up. If I'm willing to, I can kind of like Saturday morning up until 3 as a dad. I can kind of like, all right, I'll take on the responsibilities. Yeah. Whatever you need, I got it until 3 o'clock. But then once Saturday afternoon rolls around, all right, consider me out.
You can skip whatever game the Chargers are in.
Exactly. Well, I try not to, at the same time, like, give
but
me
you
up
know
until
they're
going
to lose. You know they're going to lose. It's anticlimactic. Yeah. The Chargers are going to lose that game.
Inevitably.
Always. Yeah.
What did you think about the Chargers bringing back Brandon Staley? Ridiculous? Or can you see the idea of you've got a young coach who did bring your team to the playoffs, and it was an epic collapse, but did you like that idea? Or... Can you wrap your head around, like, because we're so knee-jerk, right? Everyone's like, get Staley out of there. They fired Joe Lombardi, their offensive coordinator. but they allowed Staley to come back. What did you think of that?
I think that's fine. You know, I've always said that I think the model franchise in the NFL is the Steelers, and they've had three coaches in like 50 years, mm-hmm. Chuck Knoll, Cowher, and then
Mike Tomlin.
So that, to me, is the ideal situation. You have to find the right guys, obviously, but this like carousel that the Bears and basically every other organization, they're just like, well, it's been 2-3 years. This guy can't do it. Get him out of here. I like the idea of having some stability and building a culture, and if they feel like he's done a good enough job, which he got them to the playoffs and they have this quarterback, maybe you tweak the staff to try to get yourselves to the next level. But I, in general, I like the idea of if you're having success, which I would say that they are, of keeping that guy around. Like, the Bears fire and love you after winning 10 games. It just felt like, you know, like, is that the right time for that move? And then to bring in Trestman? Like, it's, well, you know, it's not, the grass is not always greener.
In retrospect, of course, the Trestman hiring was a disaster.
Yeah.
But I always defended the idea that they fired Lovie Smith at that moment because they had, I think, banged their head against the wall so many times with Lovie Smith trying to find a solution to the offensive coordinator that he was never able to do. And Lovie Smith, thank you very much, because it came full circle, right?
He did.
The man who
did us a solid,
who never
got himself fired.
Yes, who never, you know, never say die. Keep winning until the season is over. Tack on those extra couple of wins. I have this. Sylvie and I are in full agreement. We talk about it all the time. Lovie Smith was somebody who always would tack on a couple extra meaningless wins when the Bears, it seemed like they were. Listen, they never quit. They were playing hard, but there were plenty of years where it was, you know, 8-8 or 9-7, mm-hmm. where you knew the Bears weren't going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And that season, that 10-win season, was the essence of a couple of, you know, tacked on wins where you knew the Bears weren't going anywhere.
Olin Krutz told us this great story one time that he came in, I can't remember what year it was exactly, where he was like, hey, like, I need help on this offensive line. The offense needs help. And Lovie, hey, don't worry about it, big fella. We're going to take care of it this offseason. We got some money to spend. We're going to get you some help on that offensive line. Oh, great. Thank you. Signed Julius Peppers. So you know what?
Yeah,
forget having an offense. Let's just double down on that defense. And they brought in Julius Peppers. And they never signed anybody. And that was kind of the story.
Yeah.
Is that they never really invested in the offense the right way and couldn't get it going. But I do think that having a culture and like they had the Bears had an identity when they had Lovie, and that there's something to be said for that.
No, it was the height of, you know, Bears football, Lovie Smith's tenure, you know, for, you know, over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. because, and I'm obviously deliberately taking out, you know, and not going back farther so that we're not going to account for the Super Bowl, which obviously the 37th anniversary just happened. You weren't even alive when they were winning that Super Bowl way back when, but Lovie Smith's era as football coach was the height of Bears football over the last 30 years. It's undeniable. But, and I understand, like, you know, Olin Krutz, guys like that, Julius Peppers, Brian Urlacher, you've heard them on the station year after, you know, for years. They love Lovie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. What they were able to accomplish with him was a very good era of football, but they just came up short. And the reality is, I think, too, you have to sometimes divorce from what the players in the locker room want, because, you know, like, he was a great coach to play for. They love playing for him, and I feel like it had run its course with him. And
you could make that argument.
You know, they just weren't going anywhere with him. And sometimes I think what people don't remember, that the Bears offense with Mark Trestman that first season,
it was electric.
It looked like it was actually moving in the right direction. Yeah. Now, you know, what happened between the loss to the Packers, you know, and that offseason where things went completely haywire and all of a sudden the defense you were trotting out there. I think the problem was
they never got the timing right.
They didn't. Yeah. They had finally figured out something on offense in Trestman's first year, but then they had let the defense get too old and they hadn't really reinforced it with enough talent to complement the offense that they were trying to move into. It's the age-old formula, though, in the NFL. You have to figure out how to play complementary football. You need both offense and defense to win this game, because it's very difficult to do it with just one.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
312-332-3776. We have an unlikely source of trash talk in the Bengals-Chiefs rivalry that's going down today. We'll share who that was next.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Mandel hanging out with you here on ESPN 1000. We're talking football because, of course, we are. It is January and it is Championship Sunday. So what else will we be talking about? 312-332-3776. If you'd like to chime in, talk about the championship games with us. We're here for you. Of course, we've got the 49ers and Eagles getting things kicked off at 2 o'clock today on Fox. And that will lead right into the AFC Championship game, a rematch from last year. The Bengals will head to, do you say Arrowhead or do you say Burrowhead? Mm-hmm. They play today, tonight, in the nightcap at 5:30. At least it's scheduled for a 5:30 kick. They will, of course, hold it if for some reason the Niners-Eagles game goes later on, which I always think is a shrewd move. Not that it's hard, but, you know, every once in a while you get a game that goes later, and you know, whether it's the previous game, and if it pushes it a little bit, they will kick off a little bit later. Don't forget, Black and Abdallah will be with you from 1:30 to 5:30 today with a special version of Wanna Bet, Black and Abdallah, presented by FanDuel, as they take you up until both games. But during the Niners and Eagles game, they will be giving you all the lines, all the live lines that they're interested in and what they've got their eye on as it unfolds. And so they'll be talking football all day long here on ESPN 1000 as we are here until 11 o'clock today.
Cherish it. Only three games left.
Oh, I hate that.
I know.
I do hate that. You know, it's always...
The Super Bowl Sunday is sneaky the worst day of the year.
Yes. Yes.
It's the furthest amount of time from more football. And it is... I get a little bit sad. And that's like you're talking about this gambling show coming up. Like, that's the day I go a little bit, you know, responsibly, go a little bit nuts, because it's like I don't really care about anything for gambling purposes other than football. So Super Bowl Sunday is always like kind of a sad day until March Madness.
So let's not depress our listeners anymore. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about it being over. It's still here. We've still got three more to enjoy and relish in. And the Bengals Chiefs, of course, is the main course today because it is Joe Burrow, it is Patrick Mahomes. And an interesting source of trash talk appeared the other day when the Cincinnati mayor, Aftab Perel, weighed in with this proclamation that he shared via social media.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
A lot going on there.
That was a word salad. Like, who approved this? Was that the mayor himself, or was that like his...
It was the mayor himself, yes.
All right, that's terrible. He should be impeached. That was so bad to have it that contrived and worded that way, and he probably thought he was the funniest guy in the world. Just get up on the mic and scream, "Who day?" You got built-in saying with the Bengals, "Who day? We love Joe Burrow," and get out of there. You don't have to make it all about yourself and some weird proclamation of whatever. Like, you're not a comedy writer. You're not even, doesn't even sound like you're a real human being. Like, you're not a real human being, let alone a football fan. Just leave it alone. Stay in your lane.
Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test, confirming whether or not he's his father.
Awful. Awful. Yeah. Cincinnati mayor, Aftab Perel. All right. Interesting. You wonder, yeah, if I'm the Bengals, I'm like, stop, man. We got this. Yeah. We don't need you adding fuel to the fire. We'll be the ones that throw it.
I don't think
there.
That adds fuel to the fire. I don't think it does, because I think the Chiefs are just like, this guy's lame, and the Bengals are like, this guy's lame. Like, no, there's the one thing that unites them is thinking that the mayor of Cincinnati is a dork.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. That was pretty awful. Yeah. But it's... I got to be honest, I did start thinking I could see a scenario where if the Bears win the championship game, I could see Lori Lightfoot putting together a video like that. I could certainly see that
Not her Arlington Bears. Yeah. So I don't think so. I don't think Lightfoot would do it.
If it were now, you're right. Yeah. You're definitely right. If it were now, though, I could see her putting together a cheesy video like that, yeah. And whoever they would be playing, throwing shade at them. That's just come on, man. You got to do better. If you're going to wade into that water, you got to put something together that's a little bit better than that.
I mean, this is an acronym that we use. Just bang. Be a normal guy. Just be a normal guy. A normal guy would not get up there and have some three-paragraph proclamation about beating Patrick Mahomes or being his father or whatever. Like, it was just like you're trying. You're do less. Just do less. Say who day. Be a normal guy.
We were chuckling about this off the air. You mentioned, you know, Jerry Springer actually was once mayor of Cincinnati. We know him well in Chicago, of course. Interesting, because I did say, you know, I hesitated to even play that because you hate to give the politician what they want. And they want notoriety, right? And so me even saying his name is probably feeding to exactly what he's trying to accomplish. I have to believe he probably doesn't have, when you're willing to go out there and do that, I don't know if he's got long-term designs on being the mayor of Cincinnati, or if he's got, I have to imagine he's got more on the table for what he hopes to achieve.
I think he ruined it. I don't know what he can do. I think his career's over. I hope he's an older guy, because I can't imagine anyone voting for him or hiring him to do anything.
Who are you rooting for in this game, the Chiefs and Bengals? Well, who did you play again?
I haven't put anything in yet. Okay. I keep going back and forth on both games. It's just like eventually I'm just going to have to throw a dart and go that route, because I can't decide. And now you're hearing things that Mahomes is moving around pretty good. I think that changes the dynamic. I guess I would probably root for the Bengals. You know, they've never won one. They've been to the Super Bowl many times, you know, going back to the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd like to see the good people of Ohio get something to celebrate, because that's pretty rare for that state. And I love the Burrow Magic. I think he's a compelling character, and a Cincinnati Philly or Cincinnati 49ers as like a throwback to, you know, the Montana versus Esiason, like those days, like that, there's some storylines there. So I think that's what I would. You know what? I'm going to go Burrow against the 49ers. That's what I want to see.
All right. So Bengals Niners. That's Chiefs call. I actually think I'm going to go Eagles Bengals. I think that's how this one plays out. I think Brock Purdy, and we talked about it. We laid it out earlier. You know, Kyle Shanahan and what they've been able to build in San Francisco is the reason why Brock Purdy is able to shine. But you're a little more convinced than I am that he is going to be able to continue this run. I think if they're able to get the lead in this game, that is going to be problematic for Purdy. I think the Eagles are a great front runner. Mm-hmm. If they give their defensive line a reason to pin their airbacks and chase Brock Purdy, I think it's going to be a tough day for him. Now
they have no weaknesses.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can run on them, and that's But the one thing is, usually more times than not, the Eagles are able to. No team's really able to jump out in front of them, or they haven't been for the most part this season. I think the Cowboys did a little bit earlier in the year, but that was when Gardner Minshew was their starting quarterback that day. The Washington Commanders, remember, they were the first team to beat them this season. They were able to play in a weird game where they kept it close, and it was really the first time that the Eagles were tested all season long. For the most part, the Eagles usually are able to jump out on teams, and then, you know, it's hard to stop that offense. Like,
it really is.
They've got so many skill position players, and Jalen Hurts just...
He's kind of underrated, swaggy, cool guy, too.
Oh, for sure, man. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's very... Like, I saw this video of him where I was like, ooh, maybe I'll just bet on them, because he seems loose, he's healthy, he's dancing in practice. Like, you could tell, like, he is... Certain guys just have that, like, that alpha, that kind of moxie about him, and Hurts definitely has that. I've said this before, no one has ever been more wrong about anything than I was about Jalen Hurts. Like, I did not think that he would make it in the NFL. He's spectacular. Like, he can do a little bit of everything. Smart, tough, like he runs the ball pretty, like he runs kind of like a running back. Like, he takes a beating sometimes, and he's they're a great team to watch, and I love that offensive line. They kind of impose their will on any defense, so that'll be a fun matchup, seeing how they handle Bosa and that 49ers front four too.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the one thing when you look at the NFC, we were talking earlier, you mentioned it, how it's, you know, it's good for the Bears that they're not in the AFC because of all the quarterbacks, the good young quarterbacks that are, you know, littered across the AFC. You know, we saw it, obviously. He didn't, you know, think he maybe took a little bit of a step sideways this year, but Josh Allen clearly is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We, you know, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes today are going to be on full display. We know they're, you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. They're both very young and very, very great. And then you look across the, you know, Justin Herbert, you know, we still think there's lots of, you know, potential for him. Trevor Lawrence, you know, I mean, he, you know, he number one overall pick. He resides in the AFC. You know, and then you look, you know, they're not quite, maybe they're not at the same exact level, but, you know, Lamar Jackson, we'll see what happens with him. But Baltimore, he's still a quarterback that's won an MVP in this league.
Yep.
You know, I don't know exactly where you go with the Broncos and Russell Wilson. That seems like a little bit of a disaster, but they're going to try and get things right, clearly. But you look at the New York Jets, too. There could be a situation here where they've got their eye on Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yep.
That's the one spot where everybody looks at, they've built up a good roster, maybe in the
it's
way.
It's a very real defense.
Absolutely. And they've got some good offensive pieces, too. Garrett Wilson.
Yep.
Breece Hall was good until he tore his ACL. You know, and they've got, they've invested lots of high picks in their offensive line as well. So the Jets are a team that are a quarterback away from being a true competitor.
We left out Tua, too, if he comes back. And,
ooh, well, that's, yeah. You know, he's still in concussion protocol. That came down on Friday, that he's still currently in concussion protocol, which is scary.
It is.
It's certainly possible. You know, if Tua gets back to being healthy, he's definitely in the conversation. But I wonder if, you know, if you're the Dolphins, can you really plan long term with Tua?
Probably not.
You know, not.
But he showed signs this year of being maybe not quite at that upper echelon, but a guy who could take you to the playoffs every year. So
yeah, if he can stay on the field, you know, you're right about that. Mike McDaniel's done a nice job of building an offense around him. But back to the Jets. Mm-hmm. When we come back, is that the destination where Aaron Rodgers will be playing his football next season? We'll talk about it here on ESPN 1000. Kick it. Meller and Barstool Chief, Ryan Brendel here on ESPN 1000, hanging out with you till 11 o'clock, talking Championship Sunday as the Niners and Eagles square off in the first game. And, of course, the Chiefs and Bengals will square off in a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Discussing some of the quarterback options, the quarterback musical chairs that could go down this offseason. And, of course, everybody is curious, will Aaron Rodgers play in Green Bay next year? Now, we've got another report from Adam Schefter earlier this morning where it appears that he is not shying away from the idea that Aaron Rodgers could be playing football elsewhere next season. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers, who does a weekly hit with the Pat McAfee Show, discussed some of that earlier this week. He talked about just, look, wanting to be a part of a championship team.
That's why I said it was mutual to both sides. You know, what does a team look like with me? What are the proposed, you know, direction of different players that they're thinking about bringing in? How do I fit in that? And what are the prospects moving forward? I think that's a part of it, you know, because you want to win a championship, right? You want to be a part of a team that can win a championship. And every team is going to say in the beginning of the season, we can win it. But we know every single year there's about, you know, a handful of teams that have a legit chance. And the four left are all four that I would have said before the season. You know, these four got a chance to win it. Now, I would have put us and some other teams in there too, which didn't come to fruition. But you want to win, and every team is going to say they want to win. But it's you know, it's the type of team you're putting together. And I don't need all my guys to be there for that. I'm not standing on the table for these seven guys need to be a part of that. You know, if to come back, it's just the kind of the feel of the team.
So there was Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee on Tuesday this past week. And again, Schefter has a report out this morning on ESPN.com discussing how this is very real. The Packers are at a weird situation as a franchise where they've got Jordan Love, you know, who they drafted in the first round. He's going to be entering his fourth year, so they need to make a decision about picking up his fifth-year option. And I'd imagine they're going to do that. You don't draft a guy in the first round without ever seeing him really play and take the field and not, you know, pick up his 50. And, I mean, truth be told, if they don't pick up his fifth-year option, it's not going to press them into any weird situation this year, but they have to make the decision on Jordan Love. And so assuming they pick up that fifth-year option, that means that next year based on the money that Jordan Love will be making, it's impossible to have a roster where you have both Rodgers and Love there. And so it seems to make the most sense for the Packers, if they're going to go forward with Jordan Love, you know, you're probably going to get the most from Aaron. You trade him now as opposed to waiting one more year and being forced to do it next year all likelihood.
This stinks. This stinks. I feel like Rodgers and Favre have tortured this city for 30-something years now.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the Bears are on the ascension, and I'll speak for the good people of Detroit, too. They're on the ascension. Everybody wants to be the team that buries Aaron Rodgers and not just like, I'm out, and you guys can have fun with Jordan Love. As a fan, I want to see the Bears kind of like rip that mantle away from him, and it feels like the Bears are trending the right way. They're on the ascension. They would have a chance, theoretically, to do it this year if the Packers are still bad and the Bears make the right moves. And then he's dead and buried, and the Bears are the ones that did it. If he just runs off to New York and wins a Super Bowl there, that would make me want to puke. That would make me want to puke. So I hope that none of these deals actually come to fruition, and the Bears are able to have one last or two more shots at him, because that's how I want his story to end.
I hear you. I unfortunately do, you know, think that there's where there's smoke, there's fire. I think there's going to be, you know, I think we're going to be.
He's a coward. He's running away.
Very. I think he's. It's so weird how he's following. You know, if it ends up being the Jets, the Brett Favre playbook to a T yet again.
They'll be doing a welfare fraud scam before you know it.
Yeah, I mean, the good people of, where's Aaron Rodgers from, California, better watch themselves.
Watch it.
If Aaron Rodgers moves back to California and all of a sudden is looking to build a volleyball court, you stay away, my friend. Mm-hmm. It does feel, though, like if you're the Jets, you want in on this, right? And if you're the Packers, it's honestly kind of weird how well they've been able to maintain their status with him after drafting Jordan Love, right?
Yeah.
When you remember all the consternation that came about when they drafted Jordan Love that night and everything, mm-hmm. It seemed like they were trying to force their way out. It seemed like they wanted to try and manipulate a trade to the 49ers.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to figure it out because the Niners had moved up. They had already invested, you know, their draft capital to move up to draft Trey Lance. So they really couldn't figure it out that night when Aaron Rodgers was just like, this is, you know, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, won a couple MVPs.
Yeah.
But it is like, I don't know. Like, they did and they didn't, because they drafted him. He's mad. They never draft him any weapons. They get rid of Davante Adams. He's running off. He's going to get traded to the Broncos. He's going to get traded here. It seems like I'm going to retire. There's drama with him.
Yes.
Every single offseason for the last 3-4 years. So it's have they managed it? I don't know. It feels like it's not exactly a happy relationship, and hasn't been. And it's something that seems like he's a guy that might be a difficult guy to have relationships with.
Listen, I think we've seen it, you know, publicly play out. He's very flaky. Like, it's weird, not just like the fact that he could theoretically be going to play for the New York Jets in a trade, because if you missed it, they hired Nathaniel Hackett to be their offensive coordinator this week, the Jets did, and Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers has talked about how Nathaniel Hackett is one of his best friends. So, you know, the Jets are doing everything they can to run back the Brett Favre playbook the way it happened years ago. It's just weird, though, that this would end up being, you know, it's, I guess you see the young quarterback watch it play out, right? Like he's drafted. Rodgers, that is, was drafted by the Packers to be Brett Favre's replacement, and Brett Favre wasn't too keen on that.
Yeah.
And then for it to, it's insane if they end up trading him to the Jets in the exact fashion that they do with Brett Favre. Just the coincidental nature of it being the same team the AFC that they would trade it. And I think you look at it, like, I don't know, maybe the Raiders. You know, but like, that's the only other maybe situation, but I don't know if they have the cap flexibility to make it happen the way the Jets do. And honestly, I don't know if Davante Adams, you know, wants that to be run back. You know, if you look at it, though, the Packers, it doesn't seem like want to trade him in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it makes a lot of sense. Rodgers to the Jets makes the most sense.
Oh, yeah. So it's just crazy, though, that they would play out exactly the same way the Brett Favre situation did, to a T. I can't believe we're actually, you know, 15 years later, watching it play out in a very similar fashion the way it did with Brett Favre. It's just crazy. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump in, talk with us here on ESPN 1000. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Ryan Brendel, Barstool. You know him as Barstool Chief. Up next, the Hawks actually did do what they were supposed to do last night. They got back to their losing ways. We'll talk about that just a bit here on ESPN 1000.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Barstool Chief here on ESPN 1000. Been talking lots of football here today on Championship Sunday. We're getting ever closer. Don't forget, Black and Abdallah with a special Wanna Bet presented by FanDuel coming your way at 1:30 today. From 1:30 until 5:30, they will get you set for Eagles and Niners from 1:30 to 2. And then during the game, they're going to be talking about lots of live betting, what they're looking at as it takes place. And then, of course, as the game wraps up, they will get you set for the Chiefs and Bengals game, the AFC Championship rematch coming your way from Arrowhead. That game is at 5:30. So they will be on from 1:30 to 5:30. So they'll be here for all your NFL action today on ESPN 1000. Watch along with them. Watch the game up and then throw the app on and watch it unfold, or watch them on Twitch if you want. As always, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always. Okay, we've been talking lots about Championship Sunday, but I would be remiss if I didn't pick your brain, Ryan. As Barstool Chief, you are a big Hawks fan, and last night, for once, there was a different Connor who was in focus. It wasn't Connor Bedard, but the best player in the NHL, Connor McDavid, was taking on the Blackhawks last night, and the Edmonton Oilers put a hurting on the Hawks in Edmonton 7-3 last night. Connor McDavid, a goal and a couple of assists. I had the game on casually. I had a couple friends over who are diehard Hawks fans, and there was a time 5, 6, 7 years ago when they would be over on a Saturday night, and if the Hawks were playing the Oilers, we would be locked into that game.
Yeah.
The TV was on, but it was definitely background noise last night because we were not locked in, because the Hawks have put us in a position where we're just casual watchers now.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, I'm still pretty locked in. Mm-hmm. And I just, again, it's one of those things, I just sit there and I'm just in a bad mood. And that's kind of my natural state with the Hawks. So at least, you know, you get to, it's kind of reminding me of the old days. So, like, immediately after lockout, I was in college, I would go to a ton of games. But it's like, you know, I love, my all-time favorite player is Peter Forsberg. So if Forsberg's in town, whether he was a Philly or Colorado or Nashville, I can't remember where he was. But you would make a point to watch the games featuring some of the best players around.
You
want to
talk about handsome men, those beautiful blue eyes of Peter Forsberg, my friend.
Piercing. And so that was kind of what it was last night, where it's like, hey, you're going to be able to see McDavid.
Yes.
Might as well tune in, and he never disappoints. So it's just, you know, it's nice to see stars on the ice. You just wish they were wearing our sweater.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, when the Kane and Taves hook up 4-1, you know, you feel a little bit nostalgic. It's nice to see, but you also, it's always in the back of your mind, this is the last time the two are hooking up on the ice for the Hawks, because
it does feel like that. My gut says that Kane will be here next year and Taves will not. That's what my gut says.
Yeah, so. And I think that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
And
especially if they get Bedard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, from your lips to God's ears. Let's hope that's the case. That'll actually make this season tolerable.
I'm doing the tankathon.com sim lottery right now. I just won 3 in a row.
Yes.
So I feel like that's a good omen.
So the NHL runs tankathon.com just like they run the real draft lottery, huh? That's good to hear. Of course, and Barstool Chief does the hockey show with Pat Boyle every Saturday. You can catch it on ESPN 1000. You can also check it out on the ESPN Chicago app if you missed it. So that, of course, is why I wanted to pick Ryan's brain just a little bit. I'll be in for Pat next week doing the hockey show with you, Ryan, as it's All-Star Weekend, the festivities will be going on. Pat is going to be taking
a
much-needed little bit of getaway for Pat Boyle. So I will be in with Barstool Chief next week on the hockey show. So we will talk lots and lots of pucks with you next week. It'll be a perfect opportunity to maybe take stock of where the Hawks are at, maybe look at some of where they're at with some of their players this season.
And that deadline is fast approaching. So the deadline is March 3rd, so we're heading into that territory, and they keep kind of kicking the can down the road on 19 and 88 with whether or not they want to get traded or not. They said they'll revisit the discussion mid-February, so right around Valentine's Day. They'll profess their love to those two guys, say, don't leave us ever. And I'm not ready to say goodbye, as miserable as it's been. So I hope they find a way to work something out with an extension for Kane or something. I think he'll sign. I think there will be some term on that deal. That's where I am right now.
Okay. I'd love to see it because I don't know if you're going to get anything that's going to be a game changer if you trade Patrick Kane, right? Like, you're going to be grabbing, you know, a first round pick, but the reality is, you know, you still got to hit on that, right? Like, there's something to be said for if they're in position now where the most critical pick will be whatever they, you know, the pick that they end up getting in their own pick, right? Yep. So, and if you're trading, if Kane's willing to leave and you do trade him away, it's not going to be a great first round pick, right? So
yeah,
there's value in having somebody like Patrick Kane on this roster for the next wave of young players to learn from.
Totally. And even look, there is a reality that Patrick Kane is more valuable to Chicago than he is anywhere else, because you need somebody to put on billboards and commercials and sell some tickets while this rebuild continues. And if you don't, even if you get Fantilli, the kid from Michigan, yep. I watched that game last night. Actually, Penn State Michigan was fantastic. Luke Hughes had 4 goals and a comeback. But Fantilli looks like he's going to be a great player, but he's not going to be the marketed guy the way a Bedard would. So no matter who you get, the top of the draft, Carlson, whoever, you're still going to need 88 to get people excited, move some tickets, have some brand ID. Otherwise, it's a very anonymous team. So I would like him to come back. I hope he's on a line with Connor Bedard. I hope they throw some money around, because the big contracts are coming off the books with $21 million for Tayson Kane. Whatever Kane signs for, it's not going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have some flexibility, and hopefully I kind of think that this turnaround is going to happen more quickly than people realize. I like the prospects they've had. It seems like they're 3 for 3 in their first-round picks last year. They're going to have multiple first-round picks this year. Ryan Green looks like he's at BU. He looks like he should have been a first-round pick. He should have been on Team Canada for the World Juniors. He looks like a very nice piece of the puzzle. So it's starting. You can kind of, if you squint your eyes a little bit, you can see a brighter future than what we've been dealing with lately.
It's like back in 08 when you started looking at the Hawks were doing, right?
Or a little bit before that. I remember like going to a game. It was like the end of the 2006 season. And, you know, they had signed Marty LaPointe and Havlat.
Sure.
But then they're like, you know, I don't know who this Keith guy is, but he looks all right.
Yeah.
You know, he was a second-round pick. And
Seabrook next to him,
and on they the blue brought line. In Sharp, and Dave Bolin had made his debut, and Bufflin had played a little bit that year. You're like, all right, like, I don't know how high up is, but there's some building blocks here. And then you add in Taves and Kane, it's like off, and Hossa, and you're off to the races.
Yeah, all of a sudden you had those centerpieces that you could build around, and you could
and
see.
And that's kind of what's missing. It feels like they have those kind of complementary type prospects in the fold. They need like that.
Yes.
The rock upon which a dynasty was built, kind of guy.
Absolutely, the centerpiece. He's Ryan Brendel, again, Barstool Chief. I'm Jeff Meller. Wrapping things up here today. Don't forget, we will be back next Saturday. We'll have plenty of talk with the hockey show on ESPN 1000. One note, how about this? Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett was arrested this morning for public intoxication.
Tough. Did you see the video?
I have not seen the video. I'm going to have to check it out.
He got hit harder by the Dallas police than TCU did. I mean, they smoked him. Big
I think that's
sack.
Baker Mayfield from when he got arrested.
Oh, am I looking at the wrong video?
Yeah, because I
got duped by the internet. I'm an internet guy.
Well.
It should have been better than that.
Don't get got. Barstool Chief, what are you doing to us, man? We expect you to bring the social media.
I'm so disappointed in myself.
Right. You know what? The good news is you corrected yourself before we wrap things up.
I didn't.
Oh, it's real.
I got you.
No, he corrected me.
Okay. Yeah, well, Jake fixed us.
Jake got us right. Thank goodness.
He's young enough to know how this social media stuff works.
Man,
it's passing you by already, Chief. You're way too young for that.
Well, there's so many videos of the same, maybe people making the same joke that I'm like, oh, it must be real.
All right, don't forget, Black and Abdallah coming your way at 1:30. Thanks so much for listening to us. Black and Abdallah with Wanna Bet. presented by FanDuel, up at 1:30. This is ESPN 1000.